Today, Jesus tells us, do not worry, but trust in the Lord. He says, look at the birds of the air and look and consider the lilies of the field. So let's do just that. Look at the birds of the air, he says. As I was meditating on this text this week, I was on a drive to Sheridan to a little pastor's gathering, thinking about the birds, and lo and behold, three times on my journey, a bird swoops right in front of my car. I mean, just barely makes it, you know? The Lord provides. He saved the birds from me, right? And that's what Jesus is telling us here, right? The Lord provides for the birds. He says, look, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He provides. So be like the birds, Jesus is saying. Now that doesn't mean we just throw caution to the wind and run in front of cars, right? But we are to do the things that he's given us to do, but to be like the birds with contentment. Now, what are we given to do? Well, here we can say we are to sow and to reap and to gather into barns. This is part of our life. I mean, who among us doesn't have some kind of maybe emergency kit in the car, especially during the snowy season coming up, for the potential that we run off the road or need some assistance? Right? Or who doesn't have bandages in their medicine cabinet? Right? You don't need them today. Why do you have them? Well, you're preparing for tomorrow, right? So it's good for us to store up things, have some food ready for the week ahead, maybe plan our meals out, and maybe even plan for the future, maybe the downfall of America. You never know, right? It's okay to have some food stored up, an emergency kit. I do. During 2020, I did so with anxiety, which is exactly what Jesus is saying. Don't do that. Right? You may do it. Store up food for winter, for harvest, the eventual downfall, perhaps. But don't do it with anxiety in your heart. Don't worry. Be like the birds, content. In fact, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says, store up grain for winter like the ant. So do that. It's a good thing. But be like the birds, joyful that the Lord provides. Here's something else Solomon says, having studied all these things in the world. And Mark pointed this out to me last week. He says, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. So be like the birds, right? Enjoy the life that the Lord has given to us. Store up things, reap, harvest, right? And gather into barns. But be like the birds. Be content. Be joyful. Don't worry. Jesus continues. He says, are you not of more value than they? Of course you are. Jesus didn't come to be incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, to become man, to feed the birds. He came for you, to feed you. To feed you His Word, which He's doing today, and to feed you the very bread of life, His own body given on the cross for our redemption. Now, He who gives us such wonderful gifts for eternal life, will He not also take care of our daily needs? He most certainly will. So be content. Be joyful. Don't be anxious. But rejoice in the Lord. Trust in His providential care. He came for you to feed you. Next, Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. They're beautiful, right? Even just one lily, he says, is more beautiful than Solomon. These lilies, they neither toil nor spin, but we do, don't we? We have work to do in our daily life, but the lilies don't. They just are. They just exist. He says, and yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. They are one of the most beautiful things of God's creation. That's what he's saying here. They're gorgeous, the lilies, and they're given for our enjoyment. You know, nothing we toil at day after day, and I know this from art school, will ever come close to the beauty of that lily of the field. Now, I can take a picture of it. I could paint it. I could maybe even sculpt it out of metal or something, which I went to school for. I could maybe encase it in resin and keep it forever. I could grind it into a mortar, maybe extract some of the essence and put it into a perfume and spray it around the house, right? I could do all those things. But even every single one of those things put all together doesn't compare to the actual thing itself. The lily of the field. How beautiful it is. In the same way, when maybe you're like this or you know someone like this, when you go to a restaurant, or they do, they take a picture of their meal and post it on Facebook or social media, right? And they want to share that experience with you. It's not a bad thing to do. But you know, as you look at that, it's not coming close to what they're experiencing, right? You're not there at dinner with them. You're not in deep conversation. You can't smell the food. You can't taste the food. You just have this two-dimensional snapshot of their reality. Thanks, Mom. She doesn't do that, by the way. Right. God gives us these things like the lilies, like food, all the stuff of his creation for our enjoyment. So truly enjoy it. The best of art can imitate these things and maybe highlight them in certain ways, but really go off and smell the roses, as they say. Do it. It's a wonderful gift that God has given to us. In another way of speaking, the Garden of Eden was made for man to live in, not man for the garden, just to work it, right? Or another way of thinking, God didn't come in human flesh and blood to pick flowers, fill up a nice bouquet, and head back to the Father, right? He came for you. You are the joy of his creation, the crown of his creation. Even though that lily may be more beautiful than anything we can make or anything we look like, right? God's glory is manifest in you. You are the crown of his creation. Now, compare it to Solomon in all his glory, as Jesus does here. I want to read a little section from 1 Kings. He says, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. What's he talking about? Here in 1 Kings chapter 10, I'll just read a section. You'll get the point. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels and that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. When she saw all of this, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, it took her breath away. It goes on. What if I can find my spot? Hang on. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Wow. Clothed with glory, and yet Jesus says, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Not the whole field, just even one single lily. Wow. But again, Christ didn't come to save the lilies. He came for you. He clothes those lilies of the field. He clothes Solomon in this glory. And he clothes you with something greater than the lilies and greater than Solomon. He clothes you with his own righteousness that covers all your sin. In Ephesians, we hear about this covering, this making beautiful of Christ's bride. He washes you clean that he might present you to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, glorious in his sight. If he clothes you with such beauty in his eyes, won't he take care of your bodily needs? Of course he will. That's what Jesus is teaching us today. So don't worry about those other things. You already have the greatest gift. Don't worry about your clothing, your food, your drink. This is a good lesson for all of us to learn, not to become so vain or so concerned about our pride or our self-image, right? It's taken care of in those baptismal waters. But it's a warning also to us, and I know Jesus doesn't get into it, but you just take the flip of it as well. Don't do the opposite. Become so averse to the things of the world that you run around naked, right? Okay. Don't become so slovenly and callous in regards to beauty. It is good for us to dress well, to shave, to take a shower, to brush our teeth, to develop good manners and etiquette. It is good for us to enjoy the beauty of life and confess it in word and in deed, that people may sense something different about us. They may sense the presence of the Creator within our very being. Not vain or pompous, but neither slovenly, homely, apathetic, and slothful. Rather, they would sense that we're content with who we are and what the Lord has given us. That we are considerate, courteous, and that we rejoice that the Lord has chosen mankind and even our own selves to be his vessel, the temple of his Holy Spirit. People will sense that joy when they see you. Trust in the Lord. As we go about striving to also, you know, to do things well, to care for our neighbors and brush our teeth and wash our hair, keep all these things in the proper order, Jesus says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. And lastly for today, I just want to talk about the Lord's Supper a little bit. What a wonderful gift it is that the Lord brings to us today. And I think oftentimes we treat it so mundane. It's easy to do. It's so normal for a Christian in a sense. Just take a step back and recognize the beauty. I could take a picture of this whole room right now. I could paint it beautifully, maybe. I don't know if I have space anymore. Right? I could write a 10,000-page essay about God's people and this gift. And not mention every single one of you and a little bit about you. But none of that will come even, will become close at all to the reality of actually being here with you face to face, coming to the rail, kneeling with you here, and receiving the very body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. That bread from heaven, that wine of gladness for our life and salvation. Christ comes to us today. It is the greatest gift we have on earth. So seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Seek these things, His Word and His sacraments, and certainly all the other things of life will be added to you. So says Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.